You are listening to On the Road with your DOT guy, Brian Riker. Need help with the regulations, thinking about starting your own trucking company, or just think trucks are cool? Well, this is the place for you. I am your DOT guy, Brian Riker. Welcome to season two. We are excited to bring you more great content and advice, help you survive these challenging times, and provide another season of great guests like the one you will hear from today. This week, we have a special guest, Michelle Succo, and together we are going to talk about self-care. Yes, trucking is a male-dominated industry, no doubt, but just because you're a guy doesn't mean self-care isn't important. Find out what we can learn from our female counterparts about staying mentally fit. Speaking of mental fitness, Michelle will give us some simple daily routines that will really help reduce stress and keep you able to focus on the road and getting home safe. And last but not least, we will discuss some ideas to deal with being away from your friends and family for long hours, often days at a time, and how you can still be connected while working. And we'll be right back after this short break.
You ever find yourself in a ditch in Dallas? Maybe busted brakes in Buffalo? When a breakdown occurs, and it will, what do? Searching for an available roadside mechanic, towing company, or tire service can quite frankly be a pain in the butt. Oh, you can search the internet for a provider, only to find out that they aren't open, available, or even still in business. Introducing Servicase.com. Servicase is a breakdown solution available to fleets and operators. Unlike outdated listing services, Servicase allows you to not only search for a provider, but to select and electronically dispatch the call without ever picking up the phone. You will even receive electronic status updates, providing the clearest indication of when you'll be back on the road. Give it a shot. It could be the best breakdown experience of your life. That's Servicase.com. Servicase.com.
Welcome back. Whether you're new to the industry or a seasoned vet, you know that truck drivers are the backbone of this industry. What you may not know is that drivers, like our trucks, require frequent maintenance and can't run around the clock. The old adage, work until the job is done, is hogwash, and you know it. Now, I used to be one of those that would always say, I don't quit when I'm tired. Nope, I quit when I'm finished. Well, let me tell you, I was wrong all those years. With me today is a special guest, Michelle Succo. She will help expose how wrong I was and what can be done to prevent us all as drivers from working ourselves to death. If anyone understands overworking, stress, and then starting all over again from ground zero, it is Michelle. A very successful woman in a male-dominated world, Michelle Succo is president of HDM Towing and Truck Center, president of Main Street Auto Center of Lake Mills, Wisconsin, and CEO and founder of her brand company, Girl Talk. She means business. Michelle's insights stem from over two decades of experience owning and operating a successful towing and truck repair company and 12 years running a quick lube car wash and laundromat operation. Talk about diversification. And she has developed strong leadership skills through her involvement in national trade associations and the local chamber of commerce. Michelle has been an active member of many organizations. She always approaches her work with creativity, enthusiasm, and great attention to detail. Here's just a short list of her accomplishments. She's a member and past president of the Lake Mills Area Chamber of Commerce, member of the Wisconsin Towing Association, member and board member of the Women of the Towing and Recovery Association of America, past president of the Women of Towing and Recovery Association of America for two terms. She gave 4 years just to that organization. Past executive cabinet of the Towing and Recovery Association of America for two terms, again, 4 years. Past president of the TRAA Education Foundation. She was instrumental in the formation of the WTRAA Business Development Series Committee and the 2017 recipient of the WTRAA Tow Woman of the Year, the highest honor bestowed by the Women of the Towing and Recovery Association of America. And she also, if that's not enough, initiated the WTRAA Presidential Commitment of Excellence Award. She is the mother of two grown children. Having raised a family while growing your business, she has gained valuable experiences dealing with the complex family dynamic, dealing with multi-generational issues, maintaining a work-family balance, and finding time for community volunteerism. Michelle is passionate about women's entrepreneurship. As a restart specialist and midlife champion, she believes in empowering others to grow and succeed by helping them set goals, making plans to achieve those goals, and celebrating their accomplishments. So please welcome our guest, Michelle Succo. Hi, Michelle. How are you doing today?
Hey, Brian, I'm a little exhausted listening to that. Did I really do all that? Oh my goodness.
Well, you're amazing. You're successful and you are so compassionate. That's one of the reasons that I invited you to be on here today. And you understand the trucking world. That is what you serve with your primary business, HDM Trucking. You really understand trucks, truck drivers, and the dynamics of what they deal with. And our listeners, they're mostly truck drivers and trucking business owners. And many of them may not be familiar with the term self-care. So can we get this started with you explaining what self-care really means and then give us some tips on how to apply the concept in the world of trucking?
You bet. So, hey, fun fact, my dad was a truck driver. So I grew up all around big trucks. And I guess that's probably what stemmed all of this passion and love for the big truck world. So, trucking, I mean, obviously I'm in towing, but I'm servicing all of those out there on the road 24/7, bringing us everything that we could possibly need, because, you know, without them, we truly wouldn't have anything on our store shelves or anywhere else that we wanted to go. So I love helping them. And, you know, it's a stressful place to be. It doesn't seem like it would be, but I mean, think about being by yourself on the road weeks. Well, you're probably remembering that. I can just tell by your face. You know, it's a hard place to be. It seems simple, but it really isn't. So I'm super happy to be able to come here and talk a little bit about some of the self-care tips that I can help with over-the-road drivers. So two things I think that are like the most important, at least that's what I've found, and we unconsciously do these, is we're always doing too much. And I am a very prime candidate for that. I am always doing too much. But, you know, I'm just getting over being sick because I literally pushed my body to the point where it was like, nope, I'm done and shut down. And 4 days later, I'm back on my feet trying to play catch up. But, you know, we're always doing too much. And being over the road, it's very mental. So we really need to take care of ourselves because we need to be at our best. And then the other thing that we always do is we don't say no when it's not a yes. And let me explain that a little bit, because so, you know, people will be, hey, can you help me with this? That seems to be like the biggest question most people ask. Can you help me with this? And always, because I want to be helpful, but I know I really can't do it, is like, hey, let me check and see if I can figure it out. You know, so I'm leaving them hopeful and I'm not removing it from my plate. So you have to learn to say, nope, sorry, I can't do it. Not right now. And, you know, no, but hey, maybe next time. So those are two things that we do.
Yeah, I'm guilty of that one myself. I can't just make the no right then and there. And it's not fair to the people that are asking for our help to leave them hanging, because especially if we're known for being there all the time, they get blindsided when we actually can't do it and come back with that no later. So I think that would really help me if I can work on that and get better so that I'm not stressed out about not being able to help my friends and letting them down. So that, I like that one. That's awesome. So you're on a roll. Let's go. What else do we
have? Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, being behind the wheel, it's extremely important to be mentally fit. You know, you have to be able to respond instead of react to things. When you're really mentally fit, you can you've already trained your brain to stop, think, and then respond. if you're not, if you're stressed and overwhelmed, you just react. It's like, boom, you know, like, I'm just going to react this way. So, you know, staying mentally fit helps you get that, you know, and being better focused. I mean, you're behind, you know, you're behind the wheel on this really big unit. It's pretty important to be focused and have better concentration. And, you know, being more mentally fit gives you more positive behaviors and improved sleep. So to me, those are the four most important things for like an over the road driver that would be why you need to be mentally fit.
Sure. And so really we need to say no, not overburden ourselves, take the time to sleep. I understand social life is important. There's a lot of important things, but if we're not well rested, then we can't be at our fittest. And we're going to physically, like you're just recovering from, we're going to physically make ourselves sick because our body cannot be pushed. I'm going to say that that's no different than stretching out the oil change intervals on your truck, or better yet, let's compare it to our diet and exercise. We wouldn't think of not putting a high quality diesel fuel in our tank, but we eat fast food at the truck stop. And then that can lead to depression and other mental issues when you don't have the proper nutrients, can't it?
Absolutely. Our physical well-being is directly tied to our mental well-being. But, you know, we are guilty of that. I mean, I do it in my own business as well. It's like, no, just go ahead, go do that run. We'll take care of the maintenance. You know, I stopped doing that quite a few years ago. You have to stick to that maintenance plan, keep everything in tip-top shape.
Yes. And I like to equate our human body to our equipment, because a lot of us take better care of our equipment. We're out there on Saturday afternoon shining and polishing and washing, and then we go without as a person. And as somebody who has been there for the last 30 years doing it this way, I've made a recent change in my life, and I have started to say no, not as often as I should. And you know that from working on some committees with me, I get very involved in things. But I've started to say no. I've started to be more involved in my kids' lives, which brings us to what's coming up in the rest of this show. So what else can you tell me about self-care before we go off to the break here?
Well, I think one of the biggest things, and I like how you use that analogy of our equipment, it really will help them to understand it much better, is you're right. We will forego taking care of ourselves to make sure that our equipment is well maintained, or it looks really tough and amazing going down the road, you know, like, oh, look at that truck, you know, that's pride. And we forgo taking care of ourselves, but when we get behind that wheel, we are the most important factor going down that road, and we tend to forget that.
You're absolutely right. I teach a class on defensive driving, and I am a CDL instructor, former CDL examiner, and I use a slide from a fatal truck crash in my defensive driver presentation, where the truck driver and his helper, it was a local delivery truck, they installed appliances, where the truck driver and his helper were both tragically killed. And this was a result of a mixture of things, but it all boils back down to this self-care. This driver had a disagreement with his wife that morning. It was heavy on his mind. She had been calling him all day and they were arguing on the phone. He was tired. He was stressed out. He has a physically strenuous job, so that didn't help. And at the end of the day, he was driving on a road he knows very well with a very sharp corner. And just before this 90-degree angle corner, his phone rang again. He looked down at it. And we know we're not supposed to play with our phones when we're driving. But he looked down at it, saw that it was a call from his wife that he'd been fighting with. And the fury just clouded his judgment is what the investigators have determined. And he rolled the truck six times and he and his helper were ejected from it. And tragically, they both died at the scene. And so this is a clear case of not being in the right frame of mind for doing the task at hand. And this is why it is so important. We make fun of Gen Z and the millennials for taking their mental health day, but maybe there is something to it that we can't just work through everything all the time. So we need some time. I think that's fair. You'd agree with that, right, Michelle?
Yes, absolutely. You know, one of the biggest things in all of this is limiting distractions. At that one key point, fits in reducing overwhelm, fits in mental health, fits in being a mentally fit driver, fits in how you can be a better person, a better parent, a better grandparent, a better partner. That thing, limiting distractions, affects everything.
You're absolutely right. So this has been a great start to the discussion, and thank you for these awesome tips. All right, folks, stick around, and we will be right back after this short break with some more self-care tips from a pro.
Starting a new trucking company and you don't know where to begin? Got a bad inspection at a roadside and not sure how it affects your safety score? Need help understanding the complex regulations that govern the trucking industry? Or not even sure you are a regulated trucking company? Fret no more and give the experts at Fleet Compliance Solutions the opportunity to help. With over 30 years in the transportation industry, our founder and chief compliance specialist, Brian Riker, has the expertise needed to provide real-world solutions to your fleet's safety and compliance problems today. Not just a suit in an office, Brian still holds a valid Class A CDL and gets into the field often to stay current with the issues faced by truck drivers today. For more information, visit our website, yourdotguy.com, or email onair@yourdotguy.com.
Welcome back. Before the break, we were discussing why self-care is important to all drivers, including men. But what if you are just stressed out beyond belief? Your business is slow, truck broken, or family issues. Maybe you've lost your business and are facing starting all over again. There's a lot of things out here that can affect us. What advice can you offer, Michelle, to help us reduce or better manage the stress in our lives?
Okay, so fun fact here is I just had a dealing with overwhelm challenge for my brand business, and there's a lot of great content and also like talking back and forth and learning from one another. So I would, if you're looking for something outside of maybe this to do, is check out different challenges to show you ways to become more mentally fit and deal with a lot of that overwhelm. So that was really fun for me. But today we're going to be talking about truck drivers specifically. So I took some of the things that I used in my my challenge and chose like five top things that we can do as when we're over the road. So the biggest thing, and I think this is really super important, is that we need to stay present. Let go of the past. Don't worry about the future. You know, most of the time, there's really nothing we can do about it anyways. Just stay present and stay focused on the priorities at hand. And when you stay present in that moment and you're not worrying about all of those things, you can breathe, you can have mental clarity, you can stay focused. So that's something that it took me a long time to figure out, because back in the day, I was very reactionary and I had to retrain my brain. So staying present to me would be first and foremost.
Okay. That makes absolute sense. And people that have known me a long time will remember that I may have had a temper in the past, but I'm known as a big teddy bear today, and I'm very calm and collected. And it took a lot. And I had to learn, and I'm sure you'll speak on this, I had to learn to accept what I cannot change, change what I can, but don't fret about the space in between. If we worry about something that may never happen, or we are constantly worrying about what we have no control over, we can't control the weather. We can't control what happens in Washington, D.C. We can't control what the other driver around us does on the highway. All we can do is control how we react to it. So am I onto something there?
You are, and you're segueing into my number two. We have to admit that we can't do it all. And I am like so guilty of this even today. So it's not like I have everything figured out, guys. I really don't, but I am learning. And I try to do everything. And then, you know what? I kind of end up doing a lot of things okay and nothing really well. So we have to figure out how to admit to ourselves that we can't do everything and then stay focused on the things that we should be taking care of.
That's just like we were talking about the basis of self-help and learning to say no. There are some things we probably shouldn't do ourselves because we can do them, but we're not the best at it. And focus our time and energy on the things that are really important that only we can do. I think that's what you're trying to say there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the biggest thing in all of this is ask for help. I can tell you, I never did that either. I could push through it. I can do it. I'll figure it out. But when I started asking for help and delegating things, man, things were getting done really well. And I wasn't doing them. And it was a huge relief off of my shoulders.
It's amazing what the people around us know how to do and can do to help us. And guys, I'm talking directly to you because in this industry, trucking, and the industry that you're from, towing, a lot of us tend to be that type A, alpha, we're going to get it done personality. I don't want to show weakness. Well, I'm here to tell you, you're not showing weakness when you ask for help. You are understanding that you have a limit. It's just like when we teach safe backing, we teach that you should get out and look. If there's a spotter available, you should use them. You know that. Most of us don't. When I was young and brand new truck driver, I would take the most difficult dock or most difficult parking spot in the parking lot to back into just to prove I could do it. Well, today, 30 some years later, I don't have anything to prove anymore. And I wish I had have understood that 25 or 30 years ago, and I'd be in better health, better shape, and probably a lot further along than I am. So I love that you're giving us permission, Michelle. You're giving us permission to ask for help. That is important.
Yeah, it certainly is. And you are exactly the same as me. I did not learn these things basically until, you know, I reached 40, 45. And now I feel like I'm a little over 50 and I feel like I've got it pretty much figured out. Do I always follow it? Not always, because I'm human. But, you know, we always learn from our past. Well, we should always learn from our past mistakes. And that just makes us that much farther ahead down the road.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, okay. So let's go into the number three thing that I think is really super important. And that's setting good boundaries. That boundaries are for every aspect of your life, whether it's your career, for here it's driving, it's your home life, your volunteerism, everything else. If we don't set very good boundaries, everything is just going to overlap and pile on top of all the other areas of our life, and we're going to just be completely overwhelmed and stressed out. We're not always available, you know. The first question is, can it wait? You know, because somebody is always going to be asking us for something. It's just the way that it is. And I've learned to ask myself two questions. Am I available? Like, am I really, truly available? And two, does it fit in my goals and my priorities of what I want to do with my time? And when I answer both of those questions, it's either a firm yes or a firm no. There's real no medium in there, and there's no middle. So if you answer those two questions pretty honestly, I think you're going to be able to set some really great boundaries. And let me, before you answer, I'm going to say boundaries keep things out, but they also keep the good things in. So don't think of boundaries as just, you know, keeping the bad out. It does keep things in too.
Absolutely. One of my favorite reads is a book by Dr. Henry Cloud called Boundaries. Now, those of you in podcast land can't see the video between Michelle and I, but the book is on the bookshelf up over my shoulder. That's how important it is that I keep it on the bookshelf behind my desk in the studio so I can always go back for a quick refresher. And I'm not saying you have to go read his book, but there is a whole section in the public library and at every bookstore in the United States that has countless books by excellent authors on this topic alone. And I have a very hectic home life. I don't talk about my personal life much, but we have a big house. We have my in-laws in an apartment downstairs, my youngest daughter, her husband, and their five, soon to be six children. Four, soon to be five children. I was lumping in my other grandson with theirs. He comes over every couple weekends. But we have all of them all together in my house. And so it's a giant multi-generational family unit, but it also requires very strict boundaries just so that we don't start disliking each other and that we all can have our personal space when we do it. So boundaries is probably one of the most important topics we will talk about. And professionally, we need to set boundaries with our dispatchers. We need to set boundaries when we're at the truck stop or the receiver. I know we spend a lot of time alone in the cab of our truck, and some people are talkers, some are not. One of my pet peeves is I will go somewhere and my phone rings all day long because of the business I'm in, and I'm not an active truck driver anymore, but I do still drive large trucks once in a while for demonstrations and sales purposes. I will purposely go to the furthest back corner of a parking lot or the furthest back table in a restaurant away from everybody else. And without fail, somebody will come park next to me or come sit down next to me and try to strike up a conversation. And so I've had to learn how to put up boundaries with physical signs that I'm not interested in a conversation. And even then, with my headset on saying I'm not interested in a conversation, I will still end up with people trying to start one. And it's important not to back down and to enforce these boundaries for your own well-being. Because I don't want to snap at somebody in public, but I need my alone time. When I'm eating my meal is not the time to have a conversation with me. I'm sure you've seen similar, Michelle.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And boundaries aren't just important in dealing with stress and overwhelm. Boundaries are for a happy, healthy relationship, whether it's with a partner or with your family. And, you know, you don't, like, we always talk about a work-life balance and setting a boundary. When you're at work, you're at work. And when you're at home, you're at home. And it's okay to sometimes blend those things together, but you have to make sure that you have good boundaries so that you can blend them together properly.
Yes, I like to be present when I'm home, but sometimes my business, because I offer a 24/7 response for emergencies as a consultant, because crashes and arrests and stuff happen all around the clock, I have to sometimes step away and take that. And the same with the healthy boundaries. I'm recording this right now in my home studio, and my family knows not to come in till I turn off the light and I'm done recording. It just makes a much better situation for all of us. And boundaries go even beyond that. I have a healthy relationship with my wife. We've been together 31 years. I would never think of going and looking in her cell phone or her purse, and she's not going to come dig through my backpack or my overnight bag when I'm on the road. And we understand each other. We respect each other. This keeps everybody together. But we also understand that the grandkids are here and their parents are here, and we don't overstep my daughter and her husband's authority to raise their children. But they also understand that they have to follow the rules in our house. And it's just those little boundaries you set that help every day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you are definitely a prime example of having very good boundaries, and it creates a very healthy environment to grow in and be in. So that's awesome. Yeah. So all right. I'm going to talk. Yeah. So I have two more here. I'll make them really quick because I don't want to keep you on too long. One is number four, is stick to a schedule. Obviously we know that mishaps happen and, you know, traffic gets backed up or you have to take a detour or whatever it is. So when I do plan a schedule, I plan enough time in it to allow for mishaps, or maybe even if I don't have any mishaps, I have a little extra time for me time. Like you said, sitting down and having a good meal by myself to recharge my batteries, because I'm definitely an introvert. So I need that alone time to recharge my batteries. And one of the ways that sticking to a schedule is helpful with stressing is because you already know what's coming, so you don't have to stress about it, right?
Sure. I live by my schedule. I really do. And in fact, we have by the time this airs, we'll have a trade show coming up in Baltimore, Maryland for the towing industry, and my wife plans on attending with me at least part of it. We went over the schedule yesterday, so she'll know when she's going to have time for me and time for her friends that are down there. And My life is planned out to the minute because of what I do for a living. And a good schedule is absolutely important. But when the schedule falls apart, don't stress about it. Move things around and reprioritize. Just because it made it on your schedule doesn't mean it has to stay on your schedule.
Absolutely. That is absolutely spot on right there. So the fifth and final thing, I just would be remiss if I didn't talk about it because it's something I'm super passionate about. And I truly believe that it took me from a very ugly, stuck place and brought me to a much happier, more positive and a fun place to be. And it's journaling. Like, I love journaling. I don't know if it's because I'm such an introvert that I don't necessarily speak how I feel as much as I love writing how I feel. And, you know, being positive and grateful for the things that we have in life, you know, training your brain to focus on those good, positive things instead of the negative things that are so strong was a huge game changer for me. And then I also now kind of moved from the gratitude journal. I mean, I still promote it. I still believe in it wholeheartedly. But for me, I do an end of day journal, which is a little more complex. I still write down the things I'm grateful for, but I have this little trash box in my gratitude journal where I write down all the things that I didn't like that happened so that I can just flip the page and forget about it. Just end my day, get everything all together so that I can start my next day out. I already know what my top three things I need to do are, and I've already let go of the trash of the day, and I'm going to start this day out way better. Now, does it always happen? It's towing, it's trucking. What do you think? Yeah, probably not. But I make a very good attempt at doing it.
I like that idea. I am a writer by trade, but I have not been a journal person. I don't do a diary. I make notes all the time for creative ideas, but I might have to give that a try because I like that idea that you can just turn the page on it. Because again, tomorrow is a new day. Don't fret about what's already happened. We can't change it. We can only move forward.
Absolutely. I will give you one of mine the next time I see you, Brian. So you can try it out and tell me what you think, because I think you would love it. I really was stuck. I just couldn't figure out, like, you know, I mean, basically at 50 years old, my life completely started over. I ended up divorced, had to buy out my business partner and start that completely. I mean, not completely over, but yet almost completely over. And I had to figure out how to do it. And, you know, I thought I needed to do it on my own. And I started with, you know, the gratitude journaling, and it really did help my brain to focus on all the positive things I had going on instead of all the negative things I had going on. But, you know, we evolve and grow and kind of move my way to that end of day journal. But yeah, I think you would like it a lot.
I think I would. And I love the concept of your gratitude journal, because I live by, and I stole this line from a song songwriter, Ray Wiley Hubbard. The days that my gratitude are higher than my expectation, those are the good days. And it is true. And we really need to not expect so much, because we don't deserve anything except a chance to go out and prove ourselves. So I am truly grateful for all of the fortuitous things that have come my way in life. And sometimes I need to remind myself of that because I get a little self-absorbed, but I love this idea. So I'll take you up on that offer for one of your new journals when I see you next. And so on that, it's time to take another break here. I've got to pay the bills. So after the break, I have one more question for you. How can you stay connected with your family and friends as a truck driver while working long hours or being away from home for days on end? So folks, stick around, and after this short break, we'll find out. We'll be right back.
What's up, ecosystem? This is Jay at ATI, the Car Shipping Business Channel. Catch more of your DOT guy, Brian Riker, on DOT Compliance every Wednesday at noon Central Time on YouTube, answering your questions live. Protect your CDL and improve your safety score, because this country needs great drivers like you. Skipping the scale? Do not guess. In the long run, not good for business. Let Brian help you stay compliant with FMCSA trucking regulations and stay on the road.
Slow down.
Slow down and move over.
Move over.
When you see signs,
lights,
vests,
please give us some room.
Slow down.
Slow down and move over.
When you need help,
it's our job
to help you,
to save you,
despite the danger.
This danger.
This danger is real.
Do your part.
Please.
Slow down.
Slow down.
And move over.
Move over.
Thanks for sticking around. You've been listening to On the Road with your DOT guy, Brian Riker, and our special guest, Michelle Succo. Now that we've discussed the ins and outs of taking care of yourself mentally, I'm sure you have lots to think about. And one of those things is, how do we stay in touch with our family and our friends while we're away from home? So really, I'm on the edge of my seat. What can we do better? Because I know that I was horrible at this the years that I was working like crazy. And I still travel a lot now, but I think I've got better at it. But I want to learn how to do even better.
Yeah, definitely. Nowadays, it is so much easier than back then. I remember with my dad being on the road as a younger child, like, I just couldn't wait for him to get home. And he was exhausted. Like, I just want to go to bed, Michelle. You're talking my ear off. You're hanging on me. You're doing all of that. And, you know, it made him feel bad because he was just exhausted. But I just couldn't wait for him to get back. So now going forward, we have so much more available to us, mostly because of, one, the internet, and two, cell phones, because we didn't have those back then. So any truck drivers listening that didn't know of that time frame when we didn't have cell phones, yeah, we didn't have cell phones.
I remember the payphone and calling home on an 800 number.
And a curse, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The curse is we're constantly connected. The blessing is we're only a phone call away when our family needs us.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, some of the things that you can do, FaceTime and Messenger video are obviously more of a face-to-face type way to stay connected. It's one of the things that I absolutely love because, you know, for me, my daughter actually lives up in Minnesota, so she's quite a ways away and I don't get to see her as often as I would like. And we do that a lot together, which is so great because talking is great, but you don't get that personal connection and get to see the facial expressions and her dogs come on the screen and, you know, I talk to her dogs and stuff. So, you know, having that video is just amazing and it makes all the difference in the world.
Sure. And that's why I have the video going while we record this, because I don't want to ruin the illusion, but Michelle and I are not in the studio together. I'm in Pennsylvania and she's halfway across the country in her office, but this allows us to do this. And I did that a couple of years ago. The grandkids were young and I went out to California for a couple of months to help a equipment distributor open up a new office. And we would FaceTime with my wife and the grandkids constantly so that they knew what was going on. And it is very important. And that's a positive aspect of social media too, I suppose, is being able to know what's going on without actually being there, as long as we don't let it take the place of still having those genuine get-togethers and connections.
Absolutely. That, again, the curse of social media is it does tend to disconnect us. But at the same time, if we set very good boundaries with it, it can keep us connected as well. In fact, I have a friend who her husband is an over-the-road driver, and she'll forever like put little pictures of them FaceTiming each other, like in her social media posts and stuff. And it always makes me giggle that, you know, they're able to do that. And I think that's been one of the biggest blessings of having internet and cell phones and, you know, staying connected. You know, communication is so important. And if you work really hard on communicating in a healthy manner, you know, having those nice long chats and talking about the boring stuff along with the important stuff makes you feel more connected. And, you know, one of the fun things I like to do too is even here, I'm not an over the road driver. And in fact, I see my significant other every day, but, you know, leave notes. Maybe leave something just to remind them, you know, sometimes you leave something out so that they trip over it. So they're like, oh, but you know, something fun too. It doesn't always have to be sappy, but you know, it's great to just leave those little reminders. And then the last thing that I have that I think is really important is, you know, when you're a person, whether it's your husband or your father or whoever, grandfather, when they leave, give them something to remind them of you while they're gone. And Brian, you have an amazing story about this example because I absolutely love it. So I'm going to let you tell it.
Thank you. My secret's out. I travel with a stuffed animal. But this stuffed animal has significance. His name is a brown otter. And my middle grandson, Benjamin, he loves stuffed animals. He has to have 100 of them on his bed, and they all have names. He's a very practical person, so most of them are named by what they literally are: little lamb, brown puppy, brown otter. Well, he gave my wife and I each a stuffed animal to protect us, and he told me, Grandpa, you have to take brown otter with you to keep you safe out there on the road, because he worries about me. And so I don't want to disappoint him. I've made it an adventure. And so I make it a point. And you witnessed this in Ohio a couple of weeks ago at a convention we were at together where you were speaking. I make it a point to take pictures with brown otter having breakfast with me in the airplane, in the truck. He sat in the front of the seminar room when I was presenting my seminar out there. And I am chronicling all of this, and we'll be launching a blog soon too with Brown Otter's own website just for my grandson. And it helps keep us together. And when we get home, you should see, and he's 5 years old, you should see the excitement on his face when I pull out the pictures of what Brown Otter has done. And these little things help. It keeps us connected. I have hanging in the corner of my office a hat that belonged to my father. He's been gone 14 years now, and it's an important thing to look up when I need to talk to him and get his advice. It's just a physical thing, but it's something. In my truck, I've always had something from whoever's important to me at that moment in time with me. And I love the cartoon character Garfield. And so I've always had a little Garfield in my truck and stuff like that. So having that is important. It really is. So I'm glad you brought up brown otter because it is, it's something that keeps my grandson excited and connected. And they see pictures of where I am and what I'm doing. And probably on the Brown Otter blog, I'm even going to put on one of those locating things, where is Brown Otter, so that it can teach geography and stuff to my grandsons, because Ben is five, but we have a 3-year-old, a 1-year-old, and one that's due any day now. So this can carry on for years. And you could probably start a family tradition like that too, with your kids or grandkids or nieces and nephews, and just to stay connected to them and maybe get them interested in what we do.
Absolutely. I just love that story. And you told me that when we were in Ohio, and it just melted my heart, because I just felt like, you know, thinking of myself at 5 years old when my dad came home and, you know, how excited I was. But to have this like story and these pictures, and I can just feel his little heart just bursting, waiting to go through all those pictures. So I absolutely love that. So those are some really awesome ways to stay connected. And make it more meaningful too.
Sure, because not everybody has the luxury of going home. Now, I grew up in a towing and truck stop family. My father owned gas stations and a truck stop and a towing and road service company. And that's why I ended up in the towing industry and ultimately involved in trucks and auto transport. And the one thing we used to do, but this doesn't work for the over-the-road folks, is no matter where my father was in his workday, we stopped and had a family dinner. Sometimes it meant mom packed my brother and I up and we went to the garage and had the dinner on his toolbox because he's working to get somebody's truck back on the road. Or even back when it was safer on the highway, we would have dinner at a truck crash scene or something on the side of the road because we ate family dinner together. It's what we did. Now, that doesn't work, but that was the genesis of this whole Brown Otter thing with my grandson Benjamin, was how can we stay connected when there's 1,000 miles in between us? And I spend somewhere between 150 to 200 days of year on the road right now. I might as well still be a truck driver with the time I'm away from home, but I'm determined to stay connected to the grandkids and make something exciting for them. And you can do that too. You really can. And it doesn't have to be this, but it can be something as simple as a stuffed animal. Always send them a picture of your truck when you're parked at night, whatever.
Yep. Whatever it is. Yeah, absolutely. So in my business, my son works for me. So I'm pretty thankful for that. I enjoy that multi-generational thing going on. We've made it work really super well. So I'm extremely blessed, because it doesn't always happen that way. But one of the benefits is his wife and son will come to the shop and have lunch together. So he calls me Nana. So Nana gets to benefit from that as well. I encourage that so much, because it's, you know, it's a lot of fun. And he knows exactly where, I mean, because he's been coming since he's been an infant, he knows exactly where everything is. In fact, today he found out where I hid my Reese's Pieces from him. So now I got to find a new hiding spot.
And they're good at finding stuff like that. They really are. And yes. And you know, I may just have you back on later in this season, because generational transition and multi-generational family business is a topic I plan on covering this year. And I imagine you'd have some insights in that as well, as because I imagine you're grooming your son for a leadership position to take over. And so we could use some tips on that. That's not today,
yeah, but
that's just a sneak preview, folks, of what's coming in season two here.
There you go. Absolutely.
Well, do you have anything else to add before we go into closing here? Or
no, I really don't. One of the things that you had mentioned about, you know, staying connected and then learning from some of the mistakes that you've done in the past, and, you know, talking about our wins and losses as a mom, you know, I have tons of wins, but I also have tons of losses as well. And I learned a long time ago that don't keep score, because that's really not what matters. What really matters is just learning from those mistakes that we make. And now being a grandma, after learning those mistakes, I get to be even better. And I'm sure you totally can relate to, you know, being the grandpa part of it.
Oh, sure. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because I had forgot that I wanted to mention that as a parent and now a grandfather, I know I've made many mistakes along the way. And I'm always here to share my stories and hopefully help keep many of you from making the same mistakes. And so now I'm not alone. I know you've made a few mistakes here. And none of us are perfect. And you don't, like the commercials say for adoption, you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. You just have to try. That is really true. And
yeah, you don't absolutely have to be perfect. And that even carries over.
Yeah. That's what I was just going to say.
Absolutely.
You don't have to be the perfect employee, the perfect driver. You don't have to be the perfect partner, spouse. You just have to give it your best that day. Try. Your 100% today may not be your 100% tomorrow. It's going to be different. That's something I have learned. And so this has been a wonderful conversation. If anybody wants to reach out to you for your services as a restart coach and someone that can really help them get their life together, how would we contact? How would they find you, Michelle?
Yeah, so the best way to find me is on my website, which is Michelle Succo, and I'll spell that, and I'm sure you'll probably put it in the show notes as well, but it's MichelleSukow.com. And, you know, there's all kinds of information on there, connections to all my social media that I do. I will tell you that LinkedIn is probably my most favorite one, but, you know, I do hang on Facebook too, because, you know, you got to have a little bit of that social media going on and staying connected.
Sure. And you have a podcast of your own as well. So why don't you tell me about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's the Michelle Succo podcast. So I'm trying to really keep everything pretty simple. I rebranded that podcast because everybody kept saying, I can't find it. So I'm like, you know what? Let's just make this easy. So you can find me at the Michelle Succo podcast. And they have started a second podcast. Yep. Keep doing more, right? Don't say no. But the Totally She Said podcast, which is for women in the towing industry. So I have so much fun with those, just like I'm having a blast here with you today, Brian, on yours.
Thank you. And I love that title, Totally She Said, because you play on words with that for the towing industry. And I'd have to say, I liked your first title to your original podcast, Burning Bridges and Dancing Naked. It definitely creates a image of, I don't care anymore, and I am here, hear me roar, I'm going to go do life my way. At least that's what I got out of the title.
That is 100% what it was. And I absolutely loved it. And I still talk about it because it took me almost 50 years to get to that point, Brian. It's terrible that it took me that long. But you know what? We've only got this one life to live. So, you know, we need to maybe burn some of those bridges and live the way that we need to. And hopefully it won't take you guys as long as it took me.
I feel the same way, because we're about the same age, and I'm hoping that there's some young folks out here that are listening to this and decide that it doesn't have to be the same old. You can make a difference.
Absolutely. So, and it starts with you, because it's not going to happen any other way.
All right. So they can reach you at michellesukow.com, MichelleSukow.com. That's the best way to get a hold of you.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Michelle. I really appreciate you being here. And everybody out there, thanks for listening. I know this is a lot of information to digest, and this only scratched the surface on mentally preparing yourself to be a truck driver. Please feel free to reach out to the show with any questions you would like answered in greater detail on a future episode. With your help, we can make this show exactly what you want and need to learn about operating a safe, profitable, and effective transportation company. This has been On the Road with your DOT guy, Brian Riker. We welcome your comments and questions. You can leave a voicemail on the studio call-in line at 706-409-5603. That's 706-409-5603. Or email your comments to onair@yourdotguy.com. That's all one word, O-N-A-I-R, @yourdotguy.com. We are available wherever podcasts can be found, including Google, iTunes, iHeartMedia, Stitcher, and more. Thanks for listening, and please remember to give us a 5-star rating and share this episode with your friends to help build our audience and make us easier to find on your favorite podcast platform. And if you've got a friend that doesn't know what a podcast is, teach them, show them, help them. This is a great medium to entertain you on the countless miles ahead. This has been On the Road with your DOT guy, Brian Riker. Stay safe.